Welcome to Shooting It with Jamie K. I am pleased to announce today that we have a very special episode here ahead of us. There will not be a guest. There will not be a co-host. So if you want to turn it off right now, by all means, go ahead. But instead of doing that and having one of our normal discussions, if you can even consider our discussions normal, I'm going to be providing episode commentary for the series premiere of my new web series, The Hutchcast. Now, for those of you who are unaware, I had the premiere episodes, as in more than one. One and two were packaged together, put up on YouTube last night. The Hutchcast is a series that I wrote, directed, and acted in, and it focuses on my character from Practice Makes Perfect and his strive for fame through podcasting. Sound familiar? Yeah. Well, this is essentially a very heightened, fictionalized version of my history with Shooting It. So you may see elements of my everyday life that have been featured on Shooting It in past episodes implemented into this show. For example, doing something quite risky that, you know, doesn't always work out in the end with this series, and that is having people from my everyday life essentially play fictionalized versions of themselves. So I'm playing Max, podcaster and history teacher. And old Pally Wally Kenny Dorsley is playing Bishop Lang, who is going to become my co-host. And I even have my real-life girlfriend Amy Fox playing, gasp, my girlfriend. Now, you know, typically these things are not done when it comes to filming. And someone like Adam Green is a prime example of why you should never do those things, because immediately after he finished filming Digging Up the Marrow, where he essentially did the exact same thing as me, although, for the record, I had no idea what that movie was even about when I started planning the Hutchcast. He cast his wife as his wife, and he cast one of his closest friends as one of his closest friends, and said closest friend wound up dying and his wife left him. So now it's kind of an awkward viewing experience whenever he has to revisit that for tours or whatever the fuck it may be. So, am I playing with fire a little bit? Maybe, but you know what? Who cares? I think the end result of this will be something really great, really special, and I'm proud of the first two episodes. I'm, you know, it's my first real filmmaking product that is out there. Practice Makes Perfect won't be out until spring, and while that has a higher production value, you know, the Hutchcast, I think, will stand on its own and really be able to differentiate itself from Practice Makes Perfect, and for its own respective good reasons. So before we actually get to the commentary, I do have one other thing to bring up, and that is that, well, actually I have two things to bring up. And the first is that I actually have another web series in development, not a scripted one though. I'm going to be doing weekly segments on What's Poppin', which is going to be Jermard Durand's new talk show with the stream.tv. I'm really excited to get into that. Can't really give out too many details right now because... Oh, Jesus. Because nothing is really 100% concrete. I'd say it's at 95%, but you don't want to be that guy who banks on the 95% and then watches something fall through. So I'm just going to say for now that I am involved in this new series and I'm excited to be a part of it. And I'm really looking forward to getting to film some segments. And second up, we have another Kickstarter in the works. This should be a surprise to literally no one. I've been promoting Man Kills, Jesus Saves a little bit more now that the cast is starting to get firmed up. We have a few more announcements coming that have to do with that. And also, I am here to announce to you all that I will be pandering for your money to see this movie get made June 1st. That is the date of our Kickstarter. So if you want to kick me a couple of coins, that would be much appreciated. We're going to be giving out some unique rewards that you're not going to be able to get after the fact. And I would really, really, really love to make this movie, but I can't unless I get some help in the funding department. So hopefully you guys will be there. You'll be as impressed with the materials and whatnot that we have prepared for the film as the cast and crew were. So I'm really looking forward to that, and it should be fun if we get this off the ground. I think it'll be a very cool experience to be able to shoot this film. And in the coming weeks, I will be giving out more information about it. Again, the cast, crew, story, etc. So be on the lookout for that. In the meantime, You can watch the Hutchcast on unhollywood.com. There's a dash between Holly and Wood. And you can also watch it on unhollywoodblog.com and thatlitsite.com. So if you want to do that, you want to get it ready for my talking, for my explanations and insight, by all means, go ahead and do that. I'll let you know when we begin. Also, if you just want to shut off the podcast now because you haven't watched it, you don't have any interest in doing that, go right ahead as well. Just watch the fucking series. All right, and we have begun. So it says that it takes place in January, or at least this episode takes place in January, but the truth of the matter is we actually filmed this in March because we just got nonstop snowstorms throughout March and April, even up until May. It's kind of ridiculous. This whole sequence came about simply as me being bored one day after work, and I really didn't have anything to do. I didn't script this, but I figured I'd fuck around with the camera a little bit, and this was the end result. I feel like I should have wore pasties for this scene. So I wanted to feature My Dinner with Andre, which is a terrific movie from 1981, and really kind of like the precursor to any kind of podcasting and radio. But if I had shown just a direct clip and put a TV filter over it, then I wouldn't have been able to use it in any future reproductions of this. If I decide to release it on DVD, for example, or if I want to take it to a festival, I would not be able to do that if I just had a blatant clip of the movie in there. Whereas I kind of took the Room 237 approach where I featured it, and you can legally do that. You can sample whatever the fuck you want as long as it is different enough from the original product, which it clearly is because my big ass head is right there watching the movie. And we, of course, have the music playing in the background. We get a couple of different scenes. Now, I also contemplated cutting this scene down, but I felt like the meat of this discussion was really important, and it's really going to play into future episodes of the Hutchcast. So there's an emphasis I wanted to put on that. And instead of cutting it down and potentially damaging it, not doing it justice, I wanted to feature it in its entirety. So here we also have me in my bed listening to Jack Vieira, a.k.a. Billy Beantown. He had filmed, well, he had recorded this little snippet of dialogue for Practice Makes Perfect, but we didn't have any room to put that in there. So we had a little bit of audio left over after that, and I was essentially just repurposing it here. And it's also going to set up somewhat of a minor storyline down the road.
He's a local guy. I'm sure many of you have heard his harrowing tale of survival, and some of you have even read it in his best-selling novel, Survival. Ladies and gentlemen!
Welcome to the Hutchcast. My name is Max Hutch. Fun fact, this scene was entirely filmed with a flashlight. I don't know why, what gave me the idea to do this scene this way, but I figured it would be kind of cool to look at, like it would be a very different effect, and I think that came across.
It's just a terribly titled show. It really is. I don't know who came up with that, but they should be hung. Anyway, he was talking to the famous author Colton.
Just to see a silhouette of the entire canvas and have me talking into the microphone, looking tired, and I think it comes across well.
I couldn't fall asleep. I was just thinking about, you know, where my life is heading, where my life is now. What about my past? You know, what if life had forked left instead of right? And I feel a growing sense of...
Now, originally I was going to improvise this entire dialogue where I'm sitting in front of the microphone, but that actually came across more difficult than I had expected, which is funny because, you know, I host a podcast, so you would anticipate that that kind of thing would come easy to me. But when you have a camera on you and you have a dying battery... You know, it you choke. It's not all that easy to just, you know, streamline 6 minutes of audio while you're also on camera and be able to come across as a genuine actor, at least in the eyes, and be able to deliver proper audio. So, yeah, I wound up scripting about 3/4 of this. And just played along with that. And for the record, my cat... Oh, there he is again. What? What do you want, you fat little fuck? Oh, God. He actually interrupted filming, and I just had to adapt to that. Just like he interrupted this commentary, because he does want his tuna, doesn't he? Yes. You fat slob. I love my cat. But he's a fucking dick.
And I'm a married man. I've been married for 3 years now. Have no kids.
Now, this is truthful, but not middle school. I used to have a history teacher who would just fawn over my voice. She loved my voice. I don't know why. And she would always call on me to read whatever chapter. Oh, God, please, just be quiet. And she would always call on me to read whatever chapter we were on in our textbook. And that is actually where I got the idea to perhaps dive into the medium of podcasting, because at the time I was listening to a couple of shows, not that many, not as many as I'm listening to now. I used to listen to like RFF Radio and Double Feature, which was a film podcast. Still is, actually. Now, here's the unrealistic part of this entire scene. Nobody in the history of podcasting has ever been sponsored from the get-go, except maybe Brady Stanellis or one of those types of guys. But no one who is on the ground level, so to speak, has ever even got like a local place to sponsor their show. I don't buy that. Valhalla's Pizzeria, of course, but don't go there. You know, if you have an option, go to Springfield. That's Springfield's just as bad. Maybe Randolph is good. I don't know. Just somewhere else. Don't go to Brockton. But Mama Valhalla's is really just top-notch pizza, so maybe give it a shot just for that, but, you know, just leave afterward. You don't need to stay that long. Oh, God, this is a fucking disaster. And here we have Twin Peaks providing the theme song to the Hutchcast. They actually gave me some tickets to go see their show tonight in Boston, but I don't think I'm going to be going to that, unfortunately, because my girlfriend is sick. And it would kind of be a douche move if I just went out and drank a lot and saw them perform while she was wheezing and coughing up God only knows what in bed. So if anyone wants to go see Twin Peaks tonight, the night of this recording at 9 p.m., just tell them your name is Jamie Corellis and you're on the guest list. Bring a friend.
My day was shit. School sucked.
I had to talk Amy into doing this scene. She wasn't that hot on the idea of actually being an actor on the show. She was initially. And like a lot of people, when it actually comes time to put in the work, she was kind of like, you know what, I don't know, maybe not. But, you know, I had already scripted about 3 episodes to that point, and they had featured my character's wife, Diane. So...
not that interesting.
You know, she eventually went along with it, and it didn't take much propositioning.
Well, maybe you can ask Paul to Skype in once a week for the show.
Paul, who's making 5-figure deals with Comedy Central. He's not going to do a podcast sponsored by the local...
So with this scene, we're kind of setting up a resentment toward Paul, who's the lead character of Practice Makes Perfect. Where Max... maybe it's not coming across entirely just yet, and it shouldn't, but there's something there where Paul's freedom to do as he pleases and go off and be successful kind of irks him a little bit.
Max Hutchinson.
Kenny is so good in this scene. He's really improved as an actor, I have to say.
Do I have like a booger on my hand? Why aren't you shaking my hand?
Who sent you here, Mr. Hutchinson? Is there somebody talking about me?
I don't even know your name. I was coming out of the school. I was about to go to my car.
Bishop.
Nice to meet you too.
Yeah, whatever. What you need, bro?
What are you talking about? I mean, you could throw my cup away from me.
I mean, what do you need? What can I help you with? What are you trying to acquire?
This scene initially went on for about 7 minutes. It was just us rattling back and forth for a long time, and I wound up having to dwindle that down to, I think it was about 3 minutes, 4 minutes total.
Yeah, and yours is wiping up little boy's boner pus off the bathroom floor.
Ain't nobody got time for that, bro. I'm off duty.
He's great in this.
Look, if I were to...
I never would have anticipated that Kenny would be such a great comic actor, but here he is. And the best is yet to come.
Some Platinum Haze, some Thunderfuck.
Thunderfuck, that sounds really playground appropriate.
Oh yeah, man. All the kids love it.
You're not selling to kids, are you?
Of course not. Not on ground.
Oh my god.
Got some G13 in my pocket.
G13?
Yeah, that good medical grade shit. Keep you stoned for hours. Want to see it?
Let me tell you something. That car that was just parked in back of me was not there during like the first 5 takes. Some fucking janitor pal decided to pull up and park right in the middle of our shot.
I'm afraid of losing my job.
And then the janitor himself decided to come over and bring out some bags and was like, "Eh, making a movie about me?" Just like, "Ah, ha, 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 please go away." Least believable weed ever, which is funny because when I put that, I think it's oregano and cumin into a Ziploc baggie, it looked really real. I'd actually fooled Kenny with that weed, and he's like a fucking marijuana aficionado. He got Club Member of the Month over at High Times 12 months in a row, and he wound up believing that. But on camera, it looks like shit. It doesn't look like anything. It looks like a bag of lettuce. What can you do? So that concludes episode 1 of the Hutchcast. We just had Max and Bishop walking off into the sunset as the foundation of their friendship, which will become a partnership, has now formed. And it's only going to get more interesting from there. I appreciate you guys tuning into this and listening to the commentary. I will see you next month for episode 3. That will introduce Gary Miller's character, Asher Howe, and he was a surprisingly good actor. He had no experience whatsoever, and you know what? After 3 hours of filming, a two-minute scene, he wound up being pretty damn good. So look forward to that, and we're going to do an 8-episode run over the course of 8 months, and if the response to those 8 is overwhelmingly positive, then maybe we'll do a little bit extra. But yeah, thanks again, and we'll see you next time.